Welcome to Season 2 of the What Do They Know podcast. Nick and Jeff are excited to dive into the 2024 NFL season and are starting with their divisional breakdowns for the NFC and the AFC West. They'll break down the headlines from each team going into the season and will also give you some names to look out as you prepare for your upcoming fantasy drafts. But hey, what do they know?
We are back, baby. We are back. We're back. Yeah. Classic. We are back. That's right. We are back. We are getting
football
back.
Yes, as our boys from The Hangover have said, we are back. We are ready. We are pumped. Welcome back to Season 2 of the What Do They Know podcast. What do they know? We are about to find out. Nick and Jeff back with you for Season 2. We are pumped and ready to be here. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man.
How was your summer?
It was good. It was full of baseball here and there. Yeah. Obviously, I'm a big baseball guy. Obviously, the D-backs are hot right now, so I'm just getting pumped up for fall.
Same.
Obviously, postseason baseball is always great, but this is the grandest time of the year, along with March Madness and whatnot. But football beginning. Postseason baseball,
it's the best time of the year. It's the best time of the year, not only for weather, but also sports related. It's like September, October is the best 2 month stretch of sports,
right?
Like that there is.
Yep.
So yes, I agree. I'm getting pumped. We had a couple vacations. We went to Arizona. We went to Cancun recently. It was hot, but we are back. We are excited to get going. So full disclosure, Jeff and I tried to get like an off-season episode out to you guys right after
the draft and the schedule came out.
When the schedule came out, we literally sat here and did like a full hour-long episode, but due to some technical issues, that episode is off like in the cloud somewhere, and we're never going to see it.
Yeah,
we're never going to hear it.
Yeah, neither of us are IT experts at all. So
Not sure what happened, that we didn't do anything different, didn't try and add any pizzazz or anything. It just did not work.
The show was not ready for us.
No.
It was not ready.
No. But it was a pretty good episode.
Yeah.
You guys will have to take our word for it.
Right.
So, but yes, we tried to get that going and it just didn't work out. So we're going to make up for it with some good content here for you guys. But I love how, like, as we... the last couple seasons, they being like the NFL, you know, media, whatever, have started to add like additional, I guess, outlets for football to kind of catch us up. Like you feel like June, July, normally you'd have to wait till like August for preseason football.
Right.
Now we have like the Netflix documentary. First it was quarterback. Now it's receiver.
Right.
Hard Knocks did something new this year. And I don't think you watched it, but typically they start in August. They watch, you know, they cover a team for the preseason. This year it's the Bears.
Right.
What they did prior to the Bears starting is they did Hard Knocks instead of preseason. They did off season with the Giants. And so it was a 5-episode thing, same as regular Hard Knocks. And it covered basically March through April. So like free agency, the scouting combine, the Senior Bowl, and the actual draft.
Right.
And it basically, like, the main character, if you will, was basically the GM of the Giants, Joe Shane. And it's only his second or third year. He came over from Buffalo, and it really, I loved it. I personally like it. I enjoyed it more than like regular Hard Knocks.
Right.
Because it much more behind the scenes, much more like the stuff that you and I really enjoy. Like,
yeah, it's a different take than where you can
100%. It literally showed a meeting with him and all of his top scouting guys or executives debating whether or not they should bring back Saquon.
Right. I saw that clip actually. I didn't watch the show, but I saw that clip on social media and
really, really interesting to kind of hear them break it all down, because, you know, one guy was like, well, you know, if we give him 12, let him hit the open market, nobody's going to give him more than 12. And I'm pretty positive he ended up getting more than 12 a year.
Yeah.
Really interesting information between the owner and the GM, because I felt like they were not on the same page. At one point, you know, there's a clip of him saying, the owner, John Mara, saying, I'm going to have heart palpitations if, Saquon goes to the Eagles.
Right.
And that's exactly what ended up happening. So I really, really enjoyed that. I hope they do it again next year with a different team. And I'm really enjoying receiver. I haven't finished it yet, but they have, they're watching or they're following George Kittle, Debo,
Devontae Adams,
Justin Jefferson and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Right.
Yep. So four receivers and one tight end. And I really, really enjoy that show because it's behind the scenes of like what an athlete does. Mm. You know, Christy, my wife, watches it with me. And one thing that I commented to her and she kind of agreed was this specifically. I feel like you didn't see it as much with the quarterback series last year, but the receiver series really does a good job of showing what receivers have to do during the week mm-hmm. to like improve their body.
Okay.
To get them on the field to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were so many injuries, like the average person would call a significant injury that like,
right.
you know, St. Brown had, Devontae had, Debo, and like just the nonstop work that they do during the week just to be able to go out on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I was like really, really impressed and really surprised. I felt like they did a really good job documenting that.
Yeah. I feel like Netflix kind of learned their lesson with quarterback because they had Marcus Mariota and Mahomes and Kirk Cousins, and really Mariota lost his job during the whole thing. And it kind of became a focal point between Cousins and Mahomes.
Yeah.
So they definitely spread the wealth a little bit more on receiver. At least lower their chances of someone getting injured, and all of a sudden you got to kind of block out the whole rehab aspect of the whole game. But at the end of the day, that's also part of the game. Like yeah. you said, they have to take care of the bodies and do things to their bodies that maybe they wouldn't do if they had any other career, but just to make it out onto the field. So
yeah, and I know, you know, Peyton Manning's like this is his kind of like baby, if you will. Yep. He's the executive producer. He was doing an interview not too long ago. And said that they want to do it again next year, but they want to cover a different position.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, Peyton, if you're listening, like, cornerback would be fascinating because those guys are their own separate, like, breed.
Right.
Or, yeah. like, middle linebacker or, you know, something where they're, like, a vocal, like, animated type guy I think would be really good for that show.
Right.
Not, like, I personally, no offense, I think, a lineman would be boring. Like, I wouldn't want to watch a lineman. Like corner, like I think would just be really, really interesting.
That'd be a lot of, I want to say drama, yeah, but oh yeah. I feel oh, like it would be a lot of drama.
They're very, you know, they're the opposite end
of the wide receiver.
Of wide receiver. Yeah. Exactly. They're all divas. They all want yep. the ball. They want interceptions. They want catches. They want touchdowns. Yep. Like they want the attention.
Right.
And so that's my vote for next year. Obviously nobody's listening to me, but I think that would be really, really good content.
Yeah, absolutely.
But all right, let's dive in. So for a refresher, for those of you who may not have joined us last year, what we are going to do for the next 4 weeks leading up to week one is we are going to pick a set of divisions mm-hmm. and just break down each team and give our take on, you know, what happened in the offseason, who'd they lose, who'd they add, and then predict the divisions.
Right.
And then from a fantasy football perspective, give you a couple guys on our lists that either we are really going to shoot for ourselves
mm-hmm.
Or someone we think is going to be terrible that we're going to stay away from and somebody who we think is going to be like a sleeper or under the radar.
Right.
So today we are going to do the NFC and AFC West. Just kicking it off same as last year. So I'm just going to throw out a team and I'll let you kind of go and what's on your radar and what you're thinking, what you're not for them.
Right.
So in no particular order whatsoever, first we have the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh,
last year they were 9-8
mm-hmm.
and they did miss the playoffs.
Okay. Well, you're going to make me flip my page already.
Yes,
there
I am.
You go. But Seattle, obviously they switched head coaches now. Pete Carroll
yep.
retired, but then didn't want to, but then they kind of forced them to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's already a tumultuous kind of situation. I feel like, they got Mike McDonald coming in. Obviously they still got Geno Smith there at quarterback.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those unpredictable seasons for Seattle, I yeah. suppose, again. They're not really going into expectations like they did last year, correct. Coming off that good season they had 2 years ago. Obviously, I predicted them to win the division last year, and yeah. they kind of let me down on that one. But that's just a testament of how good San Francisco is in their own right. But with Seattle right now, it's just about finding that consistency, I suppose. What version of Geno Smith are you going to get? Is that offensive line going to be able to help them out type of thing, because I think they ranked around like 28th
yeah.
In pass production. So obviously Kenneth Walker coming back. That's huge. They still got Charbonnet as the backup there. He's a good change of pace back. DK, Tyler Lockett, and then Jackson Smith. Those guys, there's some continuity there.
Yeah.
Those guys are all coming back. So that can only help their relationship there on the offense, but it's just going to depend if they have the talent there, if they can live up to their talent that they displayed 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, skill positions, they're not lacking
right
in skill position players. Right. But I wrote down the same thing. Offensive line, is a big question mark. I know they brought over, Lake and Tomlinson, who previously actually played for the Jets,
mm-hmm.
For the last 2 years. Prior to that, I want to say he was in San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah, he was disappointing for the Jets the last 2 years, obviously mm-hmm. why they let him hit the market. They kind of revamped their whole offensive line. But
right.
So not only offensive line questions, but with a new coach comes new coordinators as well, both mm-hmm. offensive and defensive. And I thought it was interesting when I was researching them, and I'm not going to have his name, but their new offensive coordinator, he's coming from college.
Okay.
He's coming from actually the University of Washington. So he's already local to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But the last 2 years, you know, you think about, he was the quarterbacks/offensive coordinator for the University of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously he had Michael Penix Jr. there and he, you know, did pretty okay.
Yeah.
But I'll be curious to kind of see, and you know, you hear about it a lot with head coaches, not so much coordinators, but some guys struggle making the jump from college to the NFL.
Right. Doesn't always translate.
Correct.
Yep.
So I think that's a big question mark is, you know, not only, you know, Mike McDonald is a defensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he, by default, should be bringing somebody in who is really, really strong on the offensive end so that he doesn't really have to concern himself there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm really curious to see how this all plays out. Me personally, I expect a significant drop off with Seattle.
Okay.
That's kind of how I see. Not, you know, maybe not because they're so bad, but as we go through the rest of the division, I actually think the rest of the division, Cardinals including,
mm-hmm.
are going to be pretty decent this year.
Right.
And so I think it's just going to be, you know, subtraction or a step back just by default.
Right.
Personally. But you know, I think Seattle is a really interesting story, and Kenneth Walker, I kind of underlined him as well. He's mm-hmm. he's a big piece to what they do.
Right. Yeah. It's always a crapshoot when you bring someone in from college in terms of coaching. You obviously sometimes they take the league by storm by way, exploiting certain little things here and there that they exploited in college. Obviously you have more talent to run your offense that you ran in college, but at the same time, it's lesser competition in college, obviously, than the NFL. So there's probably going to be some growing pains. Whether Geno Smith is going to be the quarterback that I guess Michael Penix Jr. was there in Washington.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they have the same skill set, to be honest with you. So it's just definitely going to be one of those things where it's going to be a crapshoot. It's just going to depend how it all plays out, whether they can get, I guess, an understanding between quarterback and offensive coordinator there. Otherwise, it's just going to be, like you said, a downhill turn for Seattle this year.
Yeah, and also on the defensive end, they lost Bobby Wagner, their mm-hmm. middle linebacker. He went to Washington in free agency. And, you know, he's getting up there in age, but you can't underestimate or undervalue what he did for that defense. He's
right.
the heart and soul of that defense, has been for, you know, 10-plus years.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see how the defense does as well, and if they're able to do their part in helping out what I think could potentially be a struggling offense.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's just going to be Devon Witherspoon there, a cornerback. That's kind of like, I feel like it's going to lead the charge there in defense, and he's a second year player.
Yep.
So that's going to be a young defense. That's going to rely on a lot of inexperience there. But that's going to be kind of a theme within the defenses there in the NFC West, to be honest with you. There's a lot of young bodies out there, but as of right now, and yeah, losing Bobby Wagner, the vocal point of your defense, is definitely going to be a huge hit that isn't going to be seen really until you see how many points per game they're allowing.
Right. Agreed.
Yep.
All right. Jumping over again in no particular order. This is just the way I wrote them down.
Mm-hmm.
The LA Rams.
Okay.
So last year they were 10-7,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much one of the biggest surprises in the league.
Right.
If you flash back to last year, our divisional breakdowns, you and I just trashed them on how bad they were going to be, and basically apologizing to LA Rams fans, saying like, hey, just hang on for this year. Like, it's going to be a rebuild. Well, they basically metaphorically gave us the bird and said, here's what you guys know.
Right.
Cause they, you know, 10-7, their offense was explosive. Ended up obviously losing in the wild card game or the wild card round to Detroit,
mm-hmm.
but still nobody predicted that the Rams are going to be 10-7 and make the playoffs. And if you hear somebody say that they did,
mm-hmm.
they're lying.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm really curious to see how they build off of that.
Yeah, no one really saw Puka Nacua coming out.
I'd never even heard of the dude until like week four.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No one could have predicted that one. Tutu Atwell becoming a good third string, or when Cooper Kupp was out, Tutu Atwell kind of stepping up in the second receiver role. But yeah, their offense is just legit. Obviously, you still got Stafford coming back. Obviously, another year under the belt for Nacua and Atwell. Cooper Kupp, hopefully all things are a go there. Obviously, injuries are going to be his biggest thing, trying to just stave them off. But yeah, it's just going to be how far can the offense take you with this team?
Yep.
Their defense had some growing pains last year. Like we said, we previewed them last year, and it was basically what we said about Seattle right now, that it's young, inexperienced players. And I guess as the season went on, they gained that experience, and they definitely performed a lot better second half of the year than they did in the first half, and helped them clinch that wild card spot. So with another year of continuity there in that defense, this is where they take that good step, I suppose, for LA. But I will mention this: 75% of their salary is on offense, so that's only 20.
That doesn't surprise me. That's a staggering number.
Yep.
But at the same time, like you think about the guys that we just mentioned, and it's like, yeah,
yep,
that makes sense.
Yep. And they got all those big contracts and whatnot, but that it leaves little room for improvements there in the defense.
So, and it's tough because the guy that we haven't even talked about yet is Aaron Donald.
Yeah,
he's not. He retired, mm-hmm. So he's the defense was already a question mark last year. It's going to be even a bigger question mark, I think, this year because everybody knows what a freak Aaron Donald is, mm-hmm. and what he's capable of doing, single handedly wrecking a play,
right?
Or a series.
Yeah, as of right now, you don't have anyone on the defensive line that warrants a double team or even a triple team at times. So obviously, last year, I think they had a young guy by Kobe Turner, had 12 sacks. So that's going to be the guy that they turn to kind of pick up the slack that Aaron Donald is leaving. But at the same time, Aaron Donald is a future Hall of Famer. That is not a name you can replace with one person. So it's going to be tough, but I think that they should have enough talent there on the defensive line to kind of at least rally enough.
Yeah, I mean, they at least made an effort in shoring up the defense. They did add Tre'Davious White.
Right.
Obviously, he's coming off a torn Achilles. Mm-hmm. So who knows what he's going to look like, what his explosiveness is going to be.
Right.
But, prior to injury, Tre'Davious White was one of the premier shutdown corners. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, they added Jimmy Garoppolo to back up Stafford, who I believe you said is suspended.
Two games.
I don't even remember hearing that, honestly. But
yeah, performance enhancing, I think.
Ah, oh, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic about the Rams, mm-hmm. Just strictly based off of last year. I mean, I think last year was a good example of what a good coach Sean McVay is.
Oh, yeah.
With very little expectations, what he was able to do was pretty impressive.
Right.
So I think the Rams, I mean, as long as Stafford can stay healthy and those guys on offense can stay healthy, I think they're in a good spot.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Awesome. All right. Transitioning to our second favorite team, the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
4-13 last year. The first thing I'll say is if you watched the Cardinals at all last year for any amount of time, I feel pretty confident saying this is a team that was better than their record.
The best 4-13.
They were the best 4-13. I mean, literally, like, that sounds ridiculous to say out loud, but they played hard every single game. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of peaking at the end of the season. You think about second to last week of the season, they beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia. And pretty, handily beat them.
Like, right.
Ran the ball down their throats. Kyler Murray looked good. They have weapons on offense.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I really like Jonathan Gannon, what I've seen from him.
Yeah. He's commanded respect, basically, since he stepped on the door there in Arizona. Obviously, he's more defensive-minded. And honestly, my worries from last year was him coming out to be like the previous defensive coordinator they hired. What was his name? Wilkes.
Stephen Wilkes.
Yep. Yeah. So, but he turned all those opinions wrong or any of those predictions wrong. So Jonathan Gannon, year two, I honestly have good hopes for that team over in Arizona. Kyler Murray is finally healthy for them.
Full season. For Kyler, yeah. Yep.
Year almost 2 years now removed from the ACL. So it's I mean, third overall pick and picking Marvin Harrison Jr. as well, that's only going to help you out. Obviously losing DeAndre Hopkins, but an aging DeAndre Hopkins is still a little bit of a loss, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is definitely going to pick up the slack, if not more, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm excited about him. They added Zay Jones because obviously when they added Desmond Ridder as a backup to Kyler Murray, but in that trade, they traded Rondell Moore, who I was actually really surprised when that trade happened. But I like it for the Cardinals.
Right.
Desmond Ridder, I think, is a decent backup. Also, Rondell Moore, I don't know if you saw, he just tore his ACL.
Did he really?
Out for the season for Atlanta. Yep. So bummer for him. Right. They lost Rondell Moore. They lost Marquise Brown. They lost DJ Humphries. So they did lose some guys on offense.
Right.
But they brought over, like I said, Zay Jones. They, on defense, they got Sean Murphy Bunting, the cornerback, who is pretty solid. I expect huge things from Trey McBride,
absolutely.
Their tight end.
Yep.
He has shown last year and even a little bit the year before that he can be like a dynamic pass catcher as a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Murray clearly have.
Yeah, they clicked almost immediately
from the start.
Right.
So I'm really excited about them. And I genuinely think that the Cardinals have a chance to be good this year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say my dad texted me about this like a month ago because he said the over under on their wins for this year at like, you know, the sports books are like, I want to say it's like 6.5.
6.5.
And my dad is going to, he's like, I'm putting big money on the over. Like he's full invested, like in the Cardinals, that they're gonna be well over six wins this year.
Right,
and I tend to agree.
Right.
So I'm excited to see how they do, and if they kind of live up to what we all think they're gonna do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Kyler Murray is a special talent. It just depends if he can stay healthy and keep his head in the game, type of thing. I know sometimes he kind of, I wouldn't say throw a tantrum, but he kind of gets in his own head
he does a
little bit and takes out his frustrations in ways that the fans and everyone in the media over there in Arizona are not going to respond well to. So if he can kind of stay out of his own way type of thing, that team can be pretty sneaky special over there in Arizona, especially with Jonathan Gannon. I believe in that. But overall, it's going to come down to their defense. So their defense is, again, another Seattle young and inexperienced. They allowed the second most points against last year, so that's definitely going to be a room for improvement. I see Jonathan Gannon's the defensive guy, so if anyone's going to fix it, it's going to be him. It's just going to be a big question mark at the second cornerback spot. They drafted Max Melton in the second round, and that's who they're projected to start on the opposite side there as the second cornerback. So it's going to be a little testy, I feel like, during the first half of the year. Make sure everyone gets their feet under them, get that experience that they need. But overall, I think it's going to be a sneaky good team this year in Arizona. I'd take the over on that win total for sure. Yeah,
agreed. All right, last but not least, we didn't even talk about James Conner. James Conner was a touchdown machine last year.
James Conner and Amari DeMarco for a little while. James Conner was on. They have a good 1-2 running back tandem there. It's not anything to
scoff. And Connor's a 3-down back. He can catch it. He can run it. So really like him as well.
Yeah, nothing to scoff at. Yeah.
All right. Last but not least, out of the NFC West, obviously the San Francisco 49ers, 12-5 last year, obviously losing in the Super Bowl to the Chiefs.
Right.
First thing I wrote, I'm curious your take, is like Super Bowl hangover, like if they're going to have one. So I've heard a lot of people say it's harder to be the losing team and be successful the following year than it actually is to be the team that won.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you think on that.
Oh, Casey just two-peated, so I guess that's holds true. Yeah. Well, I mean, San Francisco, haven't they made like 5 NFC championship games in a row or something?
Yeah, it's like
something?
A stupid number.
Something ridiculous like that. So honestly, this is, I feel like, this is a team that's kind of tested already on that front. I don't think it's going to be any sort of hangover. If they just get outplayed, it's just because they got outplayed type of thing.
Right.
Or they had a bad day on the field or something. I don't think anything is going to be really contributive in terms of a hangover from the Super Bowl. If anything, if there's any hangover, it's going to be if they face Patrick Mahomes again in the Super Bowl. And that's where what do we have to do to beat this guy type of thing.
Right.
But I'm honestly not really worried about that side of the story for San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan's back. Purdy is back. We'll see how another year removed from that UCL that he sustained to a couple years ago in the playoffs, how that looks. So, I mean, he's still young. It's not like he's on the verge of going down in his career or anything like that. So, and defensively, they get Talanoa Hufanga back.
Good for you. Yeah. I would have never even tried to say that.
TH.
Good for you,
bud. Initials TH. No, Hufanga, I believe is how you pronounce his name. The safety, they lost him in week 11. They were like the number one ranked defense before he went down and then went to the middle of the pack after he went down. Drake Greenlaw, I believe he got injured during the Super Bowl. And
Yep.
I just felt like
ACL, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or Achilles.
It's Achilles. Yeah. Yep. It just felt like during the back half of that year, they just kept getting hit by something with San Francisco. But they still stumbled and bumbled their way to the Super Bowl. So for them, it's just about overcoming those hurdles of if someone does get injured, next man up, death type of things. But San Francisco, I feel like should have this division in law type of thing.
So this is probably going to sound stupid.
Perfect.
I'm just going to preface it with that. So yeah. I'm a big probability person.
Ooh.
Like, that's why I love to play roulette. Like, you know, how many times in a row can we possibly hit red? It's got to be black at some point, right? Like, so I say all that to say, like, how many times can they be this good in a row without taking a step back?
Right.
So, like, in my mind, that's this year.
Okay.
Also, to add on to that, McCaffrey had a completely, like, healthy year last year. How long is that going to continue? And I mean, he's already out the entire preseason with a calf strain. He may not play week one. They haven't said that yet, but he may not play week one against the Jets Monday Night Football.
Getting it out of the way early.
So I just, like, in my mind, that's where I go. Like, okay, I get they're great. But you just look like Brandon Ayuk, his contract issue. He's holding in, but he's not practicing. It looks like he wants to be traded.
Right.
You know, Kittle's getting up there in age. Mm-hmm. Debo was pretty healthy last year. He missed like three games, but he had a really solid year. And then McCaffrey is a big one for me. Like, I don't foresee him having the same type of year he had last year. One, because it was a crazy good year. Mm-hmm. But number two, like he has such a history of being injured.
Right.
That for him to play pretty much a full season last year, like there's no way that that's going to happen this year, in my opinion. Again, that's not statistically backed by anything other than, like,
it's happened.
His history.
Like, right.
So I don't know. I mean, they lost Javon Kinlaw on defense, Randy Gregory on defense, Chase Young, and Logan Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
So they lost some defensive pieces. They added Josh Dobbs as a backup, tight end Logan Thomas from Washington. They did bring in Leonard Floyd, defensive end, who had a decent season with Buffalo last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I'm still, it's one of those things where I'm still going to pencil it in. Like, I'm still going to pick them to win the division, but I'm way less confident. Kind of about how I felt with the Bills last year.
Okay.
How I at the end of the day, I still picked them to win the division, but I just had a hunch that they were going to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly how I feel about the Niners.
Okay.
Yeah,
like I was saying, it's definitely health related, I suppose, because they are aging. I mean,
they are on a clock.
Yeah,
their absolutely. Time is ticking.
Yeah, five championships in a row, NFC championships in a row. Obviously, there's definitely a lot of sustainability and continuity there. But at the same time, all those players that have been there throughout that entire tenure, they're now 5 years older than when they began this streak. So, like you said, the clock is ticking for these guys.
Yep.
Whether they're going to do it this year, and like you said, I guess as you explain it, I kind of do feel like it's kind of like the Bills, like you said.
Yeah.
Like for me last year, I felt like last year it had to be the year, or else they're going to have to renovate and redo the entire process and retool and do the whole thing. And I feel like it's going to be the same exact thing for San Francisco. You're going to have guys that are going to be too old to really produce at the level that they were. And you're going to have some guys that are going to want to get paid.
Yep.
So how much you can afford, I don't know. Like Ayuk this year, it's already started. So it's definitely going to be one of those things where this is probably the year that they kind of have to go all out for.
Yeah, because you got what? One, maybe two more years until you have to pay Brock Purdy.
Exactly.
And you're going to be paying him a ton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's pretty much already decided at this point. Like, he's going to get $55, $60 million a year. That's like what the market is for top level quarterbacks right now. And he's shown that he's that.
Right.
So I think, you know, their time is limited.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
I
don't know.
I think I'm curious to see how they do this year.
Right.
You want to do our rankings now, or you want to do it at the end with both divisions? What do you want to do?
Let's do this one now.
All right.
The NFC West. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So go ahead.
So I got San Francisco winning the division.
Okay.
I got LA in second, Arizona in third. Those two teams could be off by a game, to be honest with you. 10-7, 9-8, something like that. Something 10-7, 11-6 or whatever. And then Seattle bringing up the rear at 4.
Same.
Look at that. On the same page.
The exact same.
Look at that. Money.
Niners, Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks. Love it. All right. So we will transition to the AFC West. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I'm sitting here saying in no particular order, but I'm realizing that the way I wrote them down is in alphabetical order.
Is that what you did?
I did.
I just did it. It came in my head.
So first, we are starting with the Broncos, Denver Broncos. 8-9 last year. Big headline there is the marriage between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson did not work. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson got cut. Now with Pittsburgh, the Broncos drafted Bo Nix, 12th overall from Oregon. If you've heard Sean Payton talk about him,
right.
He says he has this is a quote. He said he has the same feelings watching Bo Nix that he did when he watched tape of Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a lot of people, you know, everybody knows that Payton was like two picks away from picking Mahomes with the Saints before the Chiefs traded up.
There's directly the pick right behind him.
Yeah.
They were literally just waiting for.
So he wanted Mahomes. He obviously, you know, missed out on that, but he got his guy mm-hmm. with Bo Nix. So
we actually talked about this during our draft.
We did talk about it because he was one of the picks I was most excited about strictly right. because of the way that Sean Payton was talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically enough, he's like third on the depth chart right now. So it's Jared Stidham right now is their number one starter. And then they have, they have Zach Wilson. They mm-hmm. traded for Zach Wilson from the Jets. Good mm-hmm. riddance. See you later. and then obviously Bo Nix. So
right.
Really curious to see if he plays this year, if you know, and if he does, how he looks.
Right.
I'll just give you the headline. For me, I think the Broncos are going to be terrible. I think the Broncos are going to be absolutely awful, probably one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Mm.
They traded Jerry Jeudy. So they mm-hmm. have, I don't even know who they have besides Cortland Sutton.
Mims Jr.
I'm sorry?
Mims Jr. Marvin Mims Jr.
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her.
I don't know who that is.
Didn't he come out from like Baylor or something? I can't remember. He went from somewhere. He came from somewhere.
All right.
Somewhere. He exists. All okay. Right.
So they lost Justin Simmons, their star Pro Bowl safety, free agency. Traded Jerry Jeudy. They got Zach Wilson. I really do. I think they're going to be bad.
It's definitely a rebuilding year over there in Denver. They tried the 1 year with Russell Wilson. Obviously, Sean Payton, I feel like, basically proved that Russell Wilson isn't really fixable in his offense. So, toodaloo, well, we're going to start over type of thing. I mean, I'm trying to look for positives here for Denver. I guess it's just about looking towards the future. Yeah. Bo Nix is definitely something to look forward to, whether that's this year or next year. Obviously, you shouldn't try out your 12th overall, your first overall pick that you picked in this recent draft. Just go out there and just send them to fail type of thing. Build around them. Take your time. Obviously, if Sean Payton's not on a clock on the hot seat or whatever. Absolutely tell ownership, like, I need another year. I need another year just to get some guys' experience, to sign some guys in free agency and draft some more guys to build around Bo Nix. But I got my quarterback. He's going to learn my offense. He's going to take over next year, and we're going to be all right. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be one of those things where their offense is going to look definitely clunky, especially with Stidham and Zach Wilson there. So I'm not sure how many teams they're going to be.
Clunky is a nice word. Yeah, clunky, I think, is polite.
I'm trying to keep it a little not, I guess, a dread and despair here for Denver. But it's definitely not going to be pretty. And then their defense, you can only hope for improvement. I feel like they played better over the second half of the year after they got embarrassed by Miami.
Yeah, they did.
It was definitely more of a –
Vance Joseph is a good defensive coordinator.
Right.
So you knew he was going to figure it out.
Right. I feel like a lot of it was definitely pride, though, after that. I was like, you can't just go out there and get embarrassed like that anymore. So we'll see how much the defense can carry him this year, if they can carry him at all. I mean, it's not like they have a lot of talent back there. Patrick Surtain, the second, comes back.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Yeah, I love Patrick, but I don't know if that's enough to kind of lead or rally the troops there in Denver's defense to carry the football team that the offense is not going to do for you. But, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, to your point, I think that if Bo Nix doesn't play right away, it's because Peyton knows that he's good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he knows, okay, this isn't a bubble year for me. I have some time. I'm going to develop him. Ownership knows how good I think he can be. And let's just, you know, let him develop. Not like he's developing behind anybody good. That's the issue.
Right.
So that's going to be the one thing that could hang him up. But yeah, I think that this year has to, I could be wrong, right? We were wrong with the Rams last year, so I'll never say never, but there's no way that this could be viewed as anything but a rebuilding year in Denver, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Rams, at least to their credit, last year had Stafford. And I mean, established quarterback.
Right. Exactly.
Here, they do not have an established quarterback. Obviously, Zach Wilson and Stidham don't bring, I guess, much to the table during their career. So to me, Bo Nix should get playing time, but towards the end of the year. Week 15, 16, 17, those are his three-game show. Get you some experience. We're going to hit up training camp next year.
Yep, I agree. Yep. All right, jump in next to the LA Chargers. 5-12 last year. Again, if you listen to us last year, during our playoff episodes, like when coaching changes and hirings were taking place, and we heard that, you know, Jim Harbaugh was going to the Chargers, I was on here saying, I cannot wait to draft Justin Herbert for my fantasy team. He's going to be amazing. I cannot wait. Draft him number one overall. I take all that back. I withdraw that claim. And here's why I say that. I don't know. I shouldn't say this. I don't know what they're doing, but at the same time, I do. Jim Harbaugh loves to run the ball.
Right.
Right. That's his bread and butter. If you know him, look at his success at Michigan last year. They ran the ball down your throats. Think about his time at the Niners. They had a phenomenal run game, whether it be with Frank Gore, whether it be with Colin Kaepernick. They ran the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like they decided, I'm going to get rid of our offensive weapons on receivers, our receivers,
right,
so that we have to run the ball.
Right.
Right. So Harbaugh gets there, and what the first thing they do is they trade Keenan Allen. They let Mike Williams walk in free agency. Thank you. And they let Austin Eckler walk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at Washington. So they have, like, no weapons.
Right.
I don't want to say no weapons, but basically no weapons. I mean, they let those guys walk, and they tried to make up for it by bringing in J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and D.J. Chark.
Yeah, the Baltimore duo there and the running backs. And
Neither of who really have a history of staying healthy.
Right.
I mean, Harbaugh has always talked about offensive line, and he kind of backed up his talk. I mean, they took Joe Alt, fifth overall. He's the stud tackle from Notre Dame. So, I mean, it's a good start, but I just, you know, I went from being immediately excited about the potential of this team to now being like, what? You're wasting Justin Herbert. You're literally, I feel like if you're going to just have a dominant run game with a guy who has that kind of arm talent, I think it's a waste. So I'm really curious to see, again, this is another team who I think this has to be a rebuild year. I say that, but if you think of what they did in San Francisco his first year, they went from winning, I think it was 5 or 6 games, and then they hired Harbaugh, and that year they were in the playoffs. So, I mean, he has a history of turning teams around very, very quickly.
Right.
I just don't know if that's going to be the situation here.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Joel is definitely a good foundation.
Oh, 100%.
Honestly, he gives off vibes of Joe Thomas from Cleveland.
100%.
What was it, 10 to 15 year veteran, pro bowl every year, basically. Yeah, it's definitely a wondrous type of thing where how much do you think Herbert is going to elevate your receivers, and how little you kind of value the wide receiver position at that point. I mean, Joshua Palmer carried a good chunk of the load, especially when Keenan Allen would go down and Mike Williams would go down. I mean, those two guys weren't the healthiest of guys, but Palmer kind of stepped up in their absence. But is he a true number one? I'm not. I think that's a question to be answered.
To be.
Right, he's going to have to be this year. So, obviously, they have last year's first round pick, Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, And he was a big disappointment last year.
So we'll see if he picks up, I guess, John Harbaugh's offense, which is more lenient towards Jim Harbaugh.
We're going to do that all year.
Yep.
We're both going to do
the
that
brothers.
All year.
Yeah. Yep. Whether they're going to be, he's going to, I mean, if you run the ball, obviously the safeties and the linebackers move up, stack the box.
Yep. Yeah.
So maybe Quentin Johnston's speed will be able to utilize it a little bit more. But obviously DJ Chark, not that healthy in terms of his time in Jacksonville either. But, and then you drafted a second round, wide receiver out of Georgia. So it's, they have some talent there, but it's not overwhelming to the point where you have to not stack the box and let your, ground game take over type of thing. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see where they go from here. But like you said, Justin Herbert's getting paid a lot of money,
a lot of money to hand the ball off.
Yeah, exactly. To Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Yeah, it's kind of overutilizing your undervalued assets over there. So
yeah, I mean, the Chargers are one of the biggest question marks for me this year on how they're, you know, what the final product is going to look like. So
right. I mean, they still got Joey Bosa
and
Khalil Mack over there in defense. Yeah. So they
got their stud safety. They got a stud safety. I'm gonna look it up.
Yep.
Because he's, you know, he had an amazing rookie year, and then last year took a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Safety. L.A. Chargers. Hold on.
Ring a ding ding.
Derwin James. He's a beast.
Yep.
So he, you know, him and Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, to your point, they're really going to have to step up because the defense was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, disappointment for them last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the pieces and they just, and, you know, what's his face? My boy, Staley. he was a defensive minded coach and their defense was horrible.
Right.
So he, you know, Derwin James, I think, is one of the biggest pieces that's going to have to step up for that team.
Yeah, I feel like we say this every year about the Chargers. They're talented. They have the pieces there. It's just about getting them to work. But
yep.
Obviously, Harbaugh there, Jim Harbaugh, is kind of battle tested. He has NFL experience. He's successful in college. I think he's, if anyone's going to break the curse that the Chargers have looming over them, it should be Jim Harbaugh.
Yep, agreed. All right. Next, I mean, we can do this one very quickly. Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes next.
Yeah, I know. Literally, that's what it could be. 11-6. They won the Super Bowl last year, obviously, two in a row. They are trying to make history this year as the only team to ever win three in a row.
Three-peat, yeah.
So that'll be obviously the story all year.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver from Texas, who set the record for the fastest 40 time in the combine.
4.21, wasn't it?
4.21. They added Marquise Brown, so they got speed all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Which I, you know, last year the biggest knock on the Chiefs was that they had no weapons, and guys were double teaming Travis Kelce and taking away the one weapon that he did have. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to be an issue this year.
No.
I think that Mahomes is going to be able to sling the ball all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might. I actually think they will have one of the more explosive offenses that they've had.
Yeah,
which is scary to even think, because obviously they weren't successful last year and still won the stinking Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that they could be even better this year.
Right. I mean, Rashee Rice, I feel like, just bailed out the Kansas City Chiefs.
I forgot about him.
Yep. Well, he's got off the field issues right now. So
yeah, he does.
We'll see what happens there. But obviously, like you said, Xavier Worthy, I feel like they're just trying to rebuild Tyreek Hill in some sort of capacity there. Whether you can't teach speed.
No.
So you can teach catching abilities or route running, X's and O's and whatnot. But speed is something you cannot teach, and he's got it. So Tyreek Hill 2.0 would be scary if they can make him into a viable wide receiver one or even two there. But yeah, in terms of Kansas City's offense, it's just going to be a scary thing to confront if you're facing playing against them. So honestly, they're looking good for another viable Super Bowl run.
Yeah, I mean, I said this all throughout the playoffs last year. Like, I'm done doubting them. regardless of what happens.
I tried to doubt them all last year.
I'm done saying, oh, stick a fork in them. Oh, they're not the same Chiefs, blah, blah, blah. I refuse to say that. So like you can pencil them in, they're to my division winners, and I might even pencil them in for my Super Bowl prediction. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
So they're the Chiefs. What else can you say?
Not much. Yeah. Andy Reid's still there and Patrick Mahomes still there. And that's basically all you need right now.
All right. Last team, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Las Vegas.
8-9 last year. A lot of headlines last year. Obviously they fired Josh McDaniels midway through the season. Antonio Pierce took over, had some success. I think they have to, their biggest question, at least for me, is their quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people thought they were going to move up in the draft and get somebody, and they didn't.
Right.
So currently the two guys battling are Aiden O'Connell, who was there last year. He was okay,
mm-hmm.
I think, at best.
Right.
And then they brought over Gardner Minshew from the Colts, who we both love, but I don't know that he's a starter.
Right.
I mean, obviously he basically was a starter for 14 or 15 games last year with the Colts. And almost led him to the playoffs, but right. Was that lightning in a bottle? Like, is that sustainable? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously also lost Josh Jacobs, Hunter Renfrow, Austin Hooper, Greg Van Roten, who was their really talented offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
So they lost some pieces, but I actually, think about the guys they brought in. Obviously, we already mentioned Gardner Minshew. They brought in Alexander Mattison from the Vikings, Michael Gallup. Big signing was Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle from the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are saying that defensive line is going to be
their strength. Absolutely.
Just dominant between him and Max Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually really cautiously optimistic about the Raiders this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be one of those things where they're, regardless of who they go with quarterback, it's just about being a game manager. Just control what you're doing. And I feel like Gardner Minshew kind of proved that last year, how he can play. He's not going to really turn the ball over too much. He'll drive you down the field, maybe get you a field goal here and there and a touchdown sparingly. But he's more of a competitor than he is, I guess, a talented quarterback 100%. Type of thing. But Aiden O'Connell, I'd be more curious to see what you have in Aiden O'Connell over Gardner Minshew. This is where I get, I guess, conflicted whether you start off with Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew, because I want to see what Aiden O'Connell can do with that offense.
Yeah, I mean, when did they bring him in last year? Week 5, week 6, week 7? Like, part of me says that was enough of a sample size. Like, you're going to know what you have with him. And I don't know. I don't think that Minshew went there to be a backup. You know what I mean? Possibly, and at the end of the day, the biggest thing, and we haven't even talked about him yet, is you have to make sure that Davante Adams is happy.
Yeah, that's
because that's one thing that really stood out from watching the receiver show on Netflix was how volatile and unhappy he was last year. Like, and to his credit, I feel like I didn't really hear a whole lot of it, like, in the moment during the season last year, but the documentary did a really good job of showing how frustrated he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was saying things on the sideline like, man, I need to get out of here. Like, this quarterback's going to get me killed. Like, I cannot be here. Like, something's got to change. Like, all these things that receivers say all the time, but he's arguably a top 3, top 4 wide receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, there's already a ton of speculation that he's going to get traded to the Jets. Just because of obviously the Aaron Rodgers connection.
Right.
I don't know if that'll obviously come to fruition, but I think that he, above all else, you talk about being a game manager, in reality, it's just get the ball to Davante Adams.
Right. That's going to be your game manager there. Defensively, they have the pieces to definitely put out something competitive. Offensively, it'll just depend on game planning, to be honest with you. It's, can you get Davante Adams the ball, and can you make their running back, Zamir White, effective? If you can do those two things, honestly, Vegas can hover around 500. I feel like with that game plan, maybe steal a game here and there, and maybe put up a little bit of a fight for a wild card spot. But that's asking a bit for Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. But like we saw last year, Minshew is definitely a competitor. He's definitely going to go out there trying to win you the game.
Yeah.
He's not shy about it. So I think it's definitely a little undervalued or a little underopinionated about Gardner Minshew, how we value him overall as I guess a football community.
Yep.
But I feel like he's definitely someone that can step in and get you there. Aaron O'Connell, obviously, wasn't he a rookie last year or second year?
He was.
Yeah, rookie. Yep. So I'm just curious to see how he progressed over the offseason.
Yeah.
So whether you're going to definitely use a draft pick next year for a quarterback or you're going to sign somebody or what you're going to do in terms of planning there. So that's just where my curiosity is at.
Yeah. Also, a guy we haven't talked about, Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers.
Stud tight end from Georgia. They drafted him number 13. He kind of fell into their lap, honestly.
Right.
So I think he's going to be – he could be a nice security blanket for whoever, you know, ends up obviously getting to be the starter.
Right.
He is a dynamic pass catcher, really, you know, he's a freak athlete. He's really fast for a tight end. So him and Devontae could end up being a pretty solid combination.
Yep.
All right. That wraps up the AFC West. So we will go ahead and do our division predictions. I'll go first this time.
All right.
So I have the Chiefs in last.
Yeah. So me too.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
All right. So Chiefs won. I actually have the Raiders finishing second.
Raiders.
I think they will at the end of the season be right there for a wild card spot. I'm still debating whether or not I want to put them in there.
Okay.
Honestly, a big part of it is because they play the Broncos and the Chargers twice. Like, in my opinion, that's four wins right there.
You're going that.
Like, I just think they're going to be that bad. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think they're going to be that bad. And I think when you think about the Raiders season last year, all of the turmoil that they had, the fact that they finished 8-9, I think they're a better team this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm high on the Raiders.
Right.
So I think they're going to finish second, Broncos third, and I think the Chargers are going to be last.
Chargers last. Interesting. That's very okay. This is where we definitely divulge around here. KC definitely first.
Yep.
I actually got the Chargers in second. I feel like all three of those teams.
Idiot.
Right. Well, I feel like all three of those teams are going to hover around each other throughout the year. Denver might slack off a little bit towards the end of it, but I feel like those three teams are just not in the same realm or same universe as KC, obviously.
Agreed.
So it's definitely going to be one of those things where we'll see where that ends up. Vegas in third. Antonio Pierce, I feel like he came in and with a lot of intensity,
yep.
a lot of character.
Yep.
So, but that sort of, I guess, grind on a head coach, I don't know how well that develops over players over time, especially with the whole offseason. So we'll see where that ends up, whether he is head coach material.
Yep.
For a full season rather than a half season. We'll see where that goes. So I'll put Vegas in third and then Denver in the boot.
Okay. Yep. All right. So those are our AFC and NFC West predictions. So we will wrap up by doing our fantasy football segment. Real quick, just to kind of shout out to anybody who listens, we really want to improve the fantasy aspect of the show. So if you guys have any suggestions or critiques or, hey, try this, like, we're open to it. Obviously during the season, these first 4 weeks, we're going to obviously do our must-haves, our sleepers, our stayaways. But during the season, other than just throwing out statistics of how guys did, we'd love to add something creative or something different in there. So please message us on our page, Twitter, you know, text us.
Yeah, tell me who to pick up.
Yeah, exactly.
Just tell me. Don't even.
So for purposes of this segment, what we're going to do, same as we did last year, we're going to, for each division, we're going to pick one guy that, you know, we labeled it your must-have.
Mm-hmm.
You think he's going to have a great year. Your stay away, somebody who you think is just gonna, you know, not produce,
right?
And then a sleeper pick, someone who's, you know, under the radar that you think is gonna have a really solid year,
right?
So NFC West, and we didn't talk about this, so we may have the same thing because when it comes to fantasy football, we think pretty
alike. This is why I hate the segment, because like I just give you the answers to my test,
yeah.
And yeah,
all right, go ahead with your NFC West.
Okay, I got must have. I got Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay.
I feel like he's going to be the number one target there,
yep,
in terms of wide receivers in Arizona. And with healthy Kyler Murray, I feel like that's going to be a very – don't write anything down. Don't you do it.
These are my fantasy football draft notes.
No, those are mine now. But, yeah, I feel like that's going to be a very, very top-heavy offense there. Stay away. I got Ayuk, Brandon Ayuk there in San Francisco. You add just on top of the fact that he's just not happy there. And who knows if he gets traded and what situation he gets put in. Well, I would just stay away from Ayuk.
And one thing we didn't talk about with Ayuk is, and we talked about this on the show last year, but anytime a guy holds out, in this case, he's holding in, right? He's physically there, but he's not participating. Anytime that happens, you're not in football shape for week one, you are going to get injured.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, you're not there physically, and you're not there mentally either.
You know, Harry Douglas, former wide receiver, he does an ESPN radio show. He was talking about how there's such a difference between being in shape and being in football shape. And you're not, he goes, you're not going to be in football shape unless you are in camp in some capacity.
Right.
So I think Brandon Ayuk is a stay away to your point, because I think he's bound to get injured. It's just a matter of how bad and how long he's going to be out.
Right. Yep. And then sleeper, I got the backup running back there in Arizona, Amari DiMicardo. I feel like over the course of the year, he's going to prove to be a little bit more talented than James Conner. I feel like James Conner is more of a ground and pound, wear you out type of running back, even though he's a three down back, but age might catch up to him a little bit. He's definitely getting up there. But DiMicardo, I feel like he showed a lot over the course of last year, what little limited time he did play. So I feel like he's going to be definitely step up and get a bulk of those rushing attempts latter half of the year.
Okay. Yep. All right. So for me, my must have is Kyren Williams, running back from the Rams. Mm-hmm. He went very under the radar last year and had an outstanding year. And so I think that he is just going to continue. He's getting more experience. He's a young back. So I think that I personally expect really big things from him. I think that now that the Rams know they have a weapon with him, he's going to be featured even more.
Right.
And, you know, a pass game's best friend is a solid run game. You know, to your point about stacking the box, I think that he's really going to have a dynamic year. So I'm excited about him.
Yeah.
Stay away. I'm probably going to get major crap for this, but I already kind of talked about it. I literally wrote Christian McCaffrey for stay away. I don't trust that he's going to be healthy this year, and I don't trust that he's going to have the type of production just by default, just by being injured. That's my whole prediction with him. If he's healthy, I think he's gonna have a great year. I just don't think that there's a chance that he's
you're not healthy. Risking it.
Nope.
You're not risking it to get the biscuit, huh?
And then my sleeper, he's not a sleeper to you and I, but I feel like if you don't watch the Cardinals, you're gonna say, who the heck is this? And it's Trey McBride.
Yeah.
He's gonna have a phenomenal year. Him and Kyler are gonna put up some really, really big numbers.
Yep.
And
I feel like we just got Arizona's offense is pick them.
Arizona is a sleeper.
Yep.
Arizona in general is a sleeper this year. Okay. So AFC West. Go ahead.
AFC West. Let me flip my pages. Let's see here. Must have. I actually got Kamir White from Las Vegas. I feel
say
like,
it again.
Kamir White from Vegas. I feel like if their offense is going to roll, it's going to have to roll through him. Usually, if you don't have much of an identity on offense as a football team, you're going to rely on that running game, because that's one thing I feel like everyone knows how to do. And offensive linemen enjoy doing it, is pushing some people around.
Yep.
So that's where I'm going for must have. Stay away. I got LA Chargers running backs in general. Do not pick anyone from J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, whoever they drafted.
That's great. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Do not even touch it. And then sleeper, I got Xavier Worthy. We talked about him, Kansas City. But obviously, you got your mainstays there, and Travis Kelce and Rashid Rice. But I feel like Xavier Worthy is going to be definitely drafted higher than what we anticipate come draft time. But he's going to be worthy. Look at that. Puns.
Yeah. Agreed. I like that pick. All right. So for me, my must-have, I wrote Isaiah Pacheco. He's like the little Energizer Bunny.
Yeah.
The dude never slows down. He gets 5 or 6 yards a carry. He catches the ball out of the backfield. He scores, you know, catching and running. From a fantasy perspective, he's exactly what you want, especially if you're doing a PPR league. I think he's going to have a great production. Stay away, I wrote Cortland Sutton. Just because he is literally the only person capable of catching the ball now in Denver. And everybody knows that.
Right.
And who's going to be throwing him the ball? That's a big question mark. So I don't trust him. Sleeper is funny, because I wrote the other addition for Kansas City. I wrote Marquise Brown.
Really?
I almost wrote Xavier Worthy, but I picked Brown strictly because of experience.
Okay.
And you think about what Marquise Brown showed that he could do with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
Right.
I think it's going to be the same sort of thing in Kansas City. So same thought process, just different guys.
Yep.
All right. That wraps up our first episode. This was refreshing.
Yep.
I enjoyed it. So we will be back next week. Are we going to do the North or the South?
We can probably do the North first.
All right. So we will do the AFC and the NFC North next week. Same sort of thing. We'll be back. Like I said, the next 3 weeks leading up to week 1, and then it'll be full steam ahead.
Full steam ahead.
Hope you guys enjoyed. As always, if there's any, same thing that happened last year, if there's any top stories that you guys want us to address, any questions, any hot takes, anything that comes up, feel free to send them in on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who listens pretty much has our phone number, so you can text us.
Yeah.
And let us know, hey, go ahead and talk about this. And we'll see you guys next week.
Yep. Yep. See ya.
Thanks for listening to What Did They Know podcast. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media outlets to see future episode details. And don't forget to send in any questions or topics that you want to see the guys discuss in their weekly episodes to come.